Welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show. Week 2 of the NFL is in the books, and dare I say, was it crazier than week 1 was? I'm Thomas Pokornik, joined by Christian Catanacci as always. Cat, what's going on, man?
Oh, I'm fired up now. Last complete 180 from last week. Not as fired up as you are. I'll give you the floor soon, but man, what a crazy week 2 to follow up from a crazy week 1.
Yeah.
It's insane how unpredictable the NFL has been. And to think that we've been through only 2 weeks, right? Is it another 15 weeks going to be like this? Oh, I hope so, because I'm having a blast watching these games. And I'm sure you're having a blast watching the resurgence, the domination, the comeback of ages by your boy, Tua.
I love this introduction. This is going to be fired up.
Oh, and Pock's famous tweet that was said on this podcast just a few months ago. You say it.
Am I getting the floor? Okay.
Go ahead,
Pock. Where to begin?
Just make sure, because Barstool might steal it from
you. That's true. The quote's really, it's really taken off recently, and I'm definitely going to mention it in what I guess is just about to be a brief little monologue from what I have to say, because I definitely have a lot to say. First and foremost, you talked about how exciting the NFL is. And I think we should start with this game, because it was the game of the week and it was the greatest game I've ever watched, obviously just because of how enjoying it was to watch my team come back. Full credit to the Ravens. Lamar Jackson looks like an MVP. He was dominant, but we got to talk about Miami, and in specifically, we got to talk about Tua. I told you all, and what did I say on this show, like you said, a couple months ago, when they traded for Tyreek Hill, and they signed Teron Armstead, and they hired Mike McDaniel? I said, the apologies better be as loud as the disrespect has been. And if you just scroll through social media, if you really, really look at the reaction from this game, I can't believe how disappointed I am in what's still being said. 6 touchdowns later, 450 yards later, what's still being said about Tua Tagovailoa, because it is ridiculous. What more do you want this guy to do? Honestly, what more do you want him to do? If anybody else had done what he had just did, the reactions would have been monumental. They would have gotten the tailors out. They would have been fitting them for their gold jacket right then and there on the field. It's honestly ridiculous. Tua now, if you look at his complete body of work in just his 3 short seasons in the NFL, he has the best winning percentage by far of any quarterback in that draft class. He was winning and keeping his team in games with the worst offensive line in football, a head coach that was pretty much publicly trying to run him out of the building, and non-existent weapons at wide receiver. Now he finally has help. This is what you get from Tua. Alabama Tua. And what does Twitter have to say about this? Oh, anyone can hit a guy wide open. Anybody.
Yep.
Did Patrick Mahomes not have Tyreek Hill for a long time? Does Joe Burrow not have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins? Did Justin Herbert not have, you know, Keenan Allen? What was Josh Allen before Stephon Diggs? All of a sudden now it's a crime. It's a crime to be elevated by your team in the biggest team sport in this world. And it's so ridiculous. Like, I get it. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have that skill. Nobody is.
Yeah, there's one Patrick Mahomes.
He's not Josh Allen. He's not out there hurdling guys. Nobody can do that. And okay, he's not 6'5" with an arm that can throw 100 yards like Justin Herbert, but he's accurate and he's a winner. And Miami's 2-0. They're finally making waves on the national stage. And boy, oh boy, I'm going to be in the building for this week's upcoming matchup against the Bills, and I am fired up.
Wow, that was probably the best monologue that we've had on our short 2 seasons of the CTB show, but hey, that's all warranted. And for someone that's not necessarily been a doubter of Tua, but someone that's always said, okay, now's the time for him to show it, he has played phenomenal through 2 weeks. Phenomenal. That was, you hit every point that you said there was perfect. When I was watching that game, I was like, wow, this is the Tua that we used to see at Alabama. This is the national championship Tua. This is the Tua that got drafted fifth overall, right? And it's perfect. And again, it's so crazy how people just like to pick and choose the players that they want to criticize when it comes to, oh, that person has a crazy team around them. Why anyone could do that? If anything, that should not be a knock on Tua. It should be a credit to the Dolphins front office, which leaks into what we're going to talk about later. But in today's NFL, they are showing you the blueprint on how to properly elevate the team, or get your team set for your quarterback to reach his max potential, right? You're a young quarterback in this league. You cannot succeed if you don't have weapons. And the Dolphins put Tua in the perfect, perfect position to reach his ceiling. And he is, from a trajectory standpoint, he is on pace to have a massive, massive year.
Yeah, and I mean, right now he leads the league in, he's tied for the league in touchdowns. He leads the league in yards. I don't think he's going to finish there. And even if he doesn't finish in the top five, top 10, that's not what this is all about. It's not even about the stats and the accolades. He looks comfortable in that offense. You can tell the relationship between him and Mike McDaniel is just phenomenal. And what a first 2 weeks he's had as a head coach. But he finally is in control of this team. And he finally has the backing of, like you said, the front office, obviously his coach, his teammates, and now it's starting to look a little bit more of the fan base. Obviously, Dolphins fans are so, so split on Tua, but last week was kind of his defining moment thus far in terms of winning everyone over and saying, hey, this is my team. And in general, I mean, you mentioned we're going to get into this later with another quarterback. This was sort of the week of patience, I'd call it, in the NFL, because absolutely. We're so, so quick to just say, okay, he's not Mahomes, move off of him. We don't have a chance to win with him. Tua looked pretty good with some patience, and he's in his third year now. He's more comfortable. He's another year, you know, removed from that hip injury. And then he was slaying it out there. The accuracy was on point. You know, the resilience. It was just everything that he showed on Sunday was what you want in a starting quarterback.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it any better. It was just such an all-around dominant performance from Tua and just the team in general. Like, just how everyone just was like, oh, this game's over. And next thing you know, it's boom. In a flash of an eye, it's, I mean, really, like, if we're talking an offense that's really, like, it's like the game's not over till it's over when you watch those Dolphins. Those receivers are so electric, too, right? It's like, I know there was a lot of talk before the season, everyone's like, oh, Tyreek Hill even came out and said it himself, like, oh, you're gonna pick your poison, sort of thing, like, you can't cover us both. It's true, right?
You can't. Waddle's and last touchdown on the game, double coverage on Tyreek, there you go, and now you got Jalen Waddle one-on-one.
Even Tyreek's first touchdown, the Ravens safety Kyle Hamilton, who was a phenomenal prospect who just got drafted this year, he had no idea that Tyreek Hill was right behind him until he was five steps behind him. That's how fast he saw him coming from the right side, and he peeked to the middle of the field. And then as soon as he turned back over, it's like Tyreek Hill was 15 yards down the field. And he's like, holy crap, I got to go get him. And boom, it was a touchdown. And say what you want about receivers being wide open, you still got to hit those receivers. I don't care what you're talking about. The fact that Tua threw six touchdowns, if the receivers are so open, so what? Six touchdowns, that tied a Dolphins record, set by Dan Marino. It's an old record, right? So clearly he's doing something wrong. And hey, I might see Pac sailing out there on the Tua boat, and I might have to climb on, because I really, really did like what I saw from him. And if he could keep this up, I mean, we're looking forward to this weekend, and it's going to be a massive game against the Bills. You're going to see that live. That's a fantastic game to go watch. But I know we said it before the year that I know you want to, and the Bills look fantastic, but I don't think this Dolphins team is too far back from sort of rivaling this Bills team for that division. And they're both teams that are legitimate contending teams, to make movements in the playoffs in an already very difficult AFC. But from what I've seen in just these first two games from the Dolphins, I'm very, very impressed.
I think it's obviously encouraging just to know that when games can get out of hand offensively, we can keep up, because the whole knock on Tua's Dolphins have been, you know, you're winning these sort of 17-9 games where the defense is just so dominant and you really don't have to do too much on offense. Last week was the first time really where the defense in Tua's time as quarterback of the Dolphins, the defense was not good. And in the fourth quarter, they made some big stands, but to start the game, they were a disaster. Yeah. Lamar was just torching them.
Yeah.
And Tua finally said, like, hey, defense, like, you've had me my whole career. I'm going to step up now, and I'm going to make a play for us to win this game. So we'll see. I mean, the Bills, they literally look unbeatable with how good they've been.
Yeah.
They've just dominated the two teams they've played. It was so funny yesterday. They finally had their first punt of the season, yeah. And then the Titans ended up fumbling the punt. Yeah. It's just like, even when they punt, they're unbeatable. Josh Allen looks incredible. Stephon Diggs is probably, you know, top three, top two wide receiver in the NFL now. So it's going to be an interesting game. I can already see the overreactions, regardless if Miami wins this game or if Miami loses. People are going, oh, you know, the Dolphins are frauds. Again, like I said, it's week three. It's still early. This Dolphins team still has a long way to go, but I think we're all just sort of happy to see now that Tua's that guy.
Yeah, of course. And it's a sigh of relief almost from Dolphins fans, because even the craziest, the most diehard Tua believers, they're obviously you the whole time you're waiting, because you know that moment's in him, but you're just waiting for that moment. So it's a sigh of relief that he's able to show you, like, look, this is the guy I believed in, right? And he's able to put that into the national stage. And I think he's going to continue this throughout this year just because of how well the team around him is set up. And it's a perfect, perfect, perfect situation for a quarterback to sort of grow into that franchise guy that Tua is ultimately going to become.
And I think even the biggest of fans, Tua believers, they even had their doubts at some moment. So I think it's just great that this happened. And, hey, Miami's 2-0. But another Bama boy at quarterback who had a big, big weekend, also faced question marks of the season. Similar situation.
Question marks.
The team is ready to win now. If you look at the Eagles roster, could be the best roster in all of football, at least top three, top five, just with how complete they are up front on the defense side of the ball. Now they have great weapons at wide receiver. Jalen Hurts last night in the first half against Minnesota, a team that many touted after week one could potentially come out of the NFC this year with how badly they beat down the Packers. Jalen Hurts looked phenomenal last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's the exact same situation. It's sour to me because I'm sitting here watching Cooper Rush. But look, you gotta give props. I've been saying this for years, that I've said it multiple times on the show before. The Eagles front office is so, so, so good at taking advantage of quarterbacks on rookie deals and going out and getting players to surround those quarterbacks and help them reach that ceiling. Like, they did it with Wentz. They got Alshon Jeffrey. They went out, and that one offseason, they were spending money like crazy. Why? Because they had their quarterback cheap. And they have Hurts cheap. And they noticed, look, say what you want about Hurts, the team themselves were ready to move, not ready to move off of him, but they were looking to upgrade him this offseason just because of how they completely transformed this roster in like a span of 5 months.
Yeah.
Right?
It's really impressive what they did. And
absolutely it is. It's incredible the work that Howie Roseman has done. And let's not forget, Eagles fans were calling for that guy's job last year, right? You know how fast Howie Roseman would get hired if he were to somehow, we're talking in the past now, but if he were to have gotten fired, he would have gotten snatched. Oh, I don't even, leave it probably 12 hours on the market, team would have hired him for sure. But going back to what I said, and I mentioned it earlier on the show, the Dolphins front office and the Eagles front office are showing you the blueprint when it comes to quarterback development, right? Your quarterback, especially young quarterbacks, and quarterbacks in general, look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is struggling, right? I know he just beat up on the Bears, but when does he not beat up on the Bears? But he doesn't have his top receiver anymore. Your quarterback is only as good as the people around him. It's the ultimate team sport. The NFL is not one guy. It's not three guys. It's 52 guys, right? And if your young quarterback is going to reach the ceiling that ultimately he does have, because if they're drafted, they, they've got NFL caliber potential. You have to surround these guys with as much talent as possible, and they're especially in their early years while they're cheap. That's the only way these guys are going to develop properly. Only way. You look at so many failed quarterbacks. I feel bad because, like, you look at the situation that they're in. I'll give you an example on the top of my head. Justin Fields. Okay, say what you want. He may not be showing you what he did at Ohio State, but can you blame him?
Yeah, he just has nothing around him. Bottom O-line, not great weapons, defenses, whatever. He's had a bunch, you know, he's already on the second head coach. Like,
it's a lot. It's a lot for a young guy to go through. And it just goes back to what, this is not discrediting any like Jalen Hurts in any way. I'm saying that he is primed for a massive year because the Eagles are doing what they need to make him reach his ceiling. And look, Jalen Hurts looks fantastic. Like, fantastic. I got him. I know it's fantasy football, but I refuse to draft Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and Commanders players just because I don't want that biased division to come into my fantasy football team. I got Jalen Hurts like the ninth. He was there in the ninth round, and I'm like, I have to take him.
Yeah.
Right? So I took him, and I'm 0-2 in this league, by the way. I have the most points for. I'm 0-2. I don't know how. And there's a forfeit. I'm panicking right now. I'm in panic mode. But Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, they look super legit. Super, super, super legit. And it's a perfect timing because if you look at the NFC compared to the AFC, it's like night and day in terms of talent. So there's real potential that this Eagles team could make movements in when it comes to, I know we're looking ahead 15 weeks. There's a lot that could happen. And now everyone sees the Eagles. The expectations are going to increase. Let's see how they handle those expectations. But if we're projecting at this point and all things, if everything stays the same, obviously health-wise and everything else, this Eagles team is going to be a team that's going to be awfully tough to play when the season starts to get down to it.
Yeah, and I mean, you said they're potentially contenders, and I think so too. And I spent the first good chunk of the show saying, you know, I'm right. I was dead wrong about these Philadelphia Eagles. I always liked Jalen Hurts. I said, I think he's a great guy. He seems like a great leader.
Got intangibles like crazy.
I always doubted his ability to almost take the next step. Boy, has he made the jump this year, and he looks really, really good and dangerous. And this Philadelphia Eagles, if I were to pick one word, I would say they're dangerous just because they got Maulers up front. They rotate like three or four running backs. Plus you got Jalen Hurts' mobility to worry about. What that does, it keeps guys fresh, and it gives you a ton of short yard situations. When you're running constantly second and two, third and two, it is very, very tough to not stay on the football field for a long amount of time. They got these long, bruising drives, and then finally when Hurts opens it up in the passing game, he's a lot more accurate than he was last year, and also you got a wide receiver, A.J. Brown, where you don't even need to be all that accurate because he'll just go up and get the ball for you.
What a monster.
So the Eagles, their philosophy, very different than Miami in terms of, you know, Miami's all speed, and the Eagles will just beat you up.
Yeah.
But both of them, like you said, and it's so hard for me to say this with Miami building the blueprint for a young quarterback because the past 2 years have been a disaster with Tua. But they're really doing that now, both of these teams.
Exactly. Like I said, it's like the blueprint. And I want to see, it's interesting because for the future outlook of the NFL, I want to see how many teams actually start to follow the trend that they're setting. Because it's always hearsay. People go, oh, yeah, of course. No brainer. Your quarterback's cheap. You got to surround him with talent. But nobody actually does it, right? Like the Eagles went out and were making trades like crazy. And touching on A.J. Brown, A.J. Brown was a difference maker in both ends of the spectrum in two games last night. He was a game changer for the Eagles, and boy, did the Titans look like they miss him. The
Titans are just, you know what, I've said it for like a couple of years now. Oh, the Titans are bound to take a step back, and they just never do.
Yeah. Oh, this year.
It looks like they're about to just blow this whole thing wide open. Ryan Tannehill didn't play the whole fourth quarter yesterday. Derrick Henry couldn't average more than 2 yards a carry. Like, they're a disaster.
Yep. And you're right, because the Titans have always been like a team that on paper they're not the greatest, but for some weird reason they always, I don't want to say overperform, because they were a good team in the past, they're well coached, but this looks like a season that they can take a serious, serious, serious step back. And you hit the nail right on the head there. Like, I was looking at their contract situation. I don't want to get too drifted away here, but they have, like, they're talking about five of their top cap hits this year. They're all have no guaranteed money next year. So, like, we could legit see the Titans be blown up.
Yeah.
Come.
Could be a huge rebuild. Right?
Absolutely. I think we're primed for it. I think that's why I wouldn't even be surprised to see if we see Malik Willis at some point this year, just to see what they have. Okay. If we have something in this guy, so we don't have to worry about quarterback later. Look, you might as well. I think that's sort of the direction that we're going to go. But
the Titans are sitting at 0-2 now, and they're joined by a number of teams. I think that'll just lead us into, I think, what we wanted to get into next.
Yeah, perfect.
It is only 2 weeks, but we did put out a stat today on Instagram. I think you have it memorized a little bit better than me, but it's just, it's frankly, if you start 0-2, good luck making 10%. The playoffs.
Since 1970, 400 teams have started this season 0-2, and only 10% of those teams, just under 10%, it was actually 37, I believe, 37 or 38, of those teams ended up making the playoffs, right? So I know a lot of people like to say, oh, it's just two games into the season. But no, it's what I say, whatever you want, but history is history. Trends tend to repeat themselves, especially in sports. But yeah, we're getting pretty good at segmenting into some different topics here. Oh, my Siri's going off here.
Look at that! Wants to interrupt the.
Yeah, Siri wants to pick his team that he's most worried about. Yeah, but yeah,
that's what we're going to talk about.
Go right now. Go ahead, Pop. You pick your team that you are most worried about. We did a panic meter on our Instagram yesterday that got some backlash because that's where I saw a lot of those comments. You're acting like it's mid-season already. Why are you panicking? Because look, that's history, right?
Yeah, and I'm gonna be even more foolish because we just started talking about teams that are 0-2 and how, you know, good luck making the playoffs, you're already behind.
Your team's not 0-2.
My team's not even 0-2 that I'm panicking. And I'm not just pushing the panic button with this team, I am slamming it. The Denver Broncos, and last week, I think I was a little bit soft last week.
Yes.
I sort of gave
them the week one pass.
Yes. And I said, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, it's okay. It's your first game as head coach. It's, you know, it's difficult.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, it seems foolish to be like, I don't know how much longer I can say that for. But from week one to week two, I think they honestly went backwards. And I know they won against the Texans. But it's not even just the product on the field that has me concerned. Because players improve as the year goes on. They get more comfortable. It's just the fact that, quite frankly, when you watch this team, it just looks like no one has any clue what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Like, the home crowd is not just booing their brand new $250 million quarterback and their brand new head coach that just came from a team where the quarterback won back-to-back MVPs. The home crowd is counting down the play clock for the offense because they've had so many delay of game penalties. Nobody can get lined up. It seems like the second guessing in crucial situations is horrible. Fourth down, are we going for it? Are we not going for it? They line up for a fourth down this week, or they line up for a fourth down field goal this week. Got a delay of game on a field goal. When does that ever happen? They have to punt the ball. Yeah. So it's such a disaster. And so many people raved about this roster going into the season. I personally was never as high on this roster as the public was, but I still saw them as a playoff team. To me, it's an upward climb for this team to make the playoffs based on what I've seen in the first 2 weeks. And they probably played the two easiest games of the season, playing against the Seahawks and the Texans.
Yeah, like, there's no excuse for this team to not walk out of those 2-0, right? Like, no excuse at all. And 1-1, say what you want. That win against the Texans was ugly, ugly, ugly. And even off the field, like just the product in general, like you're seeing old players now, Richard Sherman come out and almost like clowning
yeah.
Russell Wilson. And it's like, okay, I always knew like Russell Wilson maybe didn't have the best relationship with some of his guys, but like there's a lot of guys that don't really like Russell Wilson. I don't know why. I have
Richard
no,
Sherman especially
like, right?
That's a key player on a Super Bowl roster that you won with.
Yes, right? Like it's just such a weird situation for me. Like I've always thought Russell Wilson's this guy, great guy, well-spoken guy. Obviously, we're speculating here, and we're just going off of what we see on social media because we have no actual knowledge of what goes on in those locker rooms, especially those Seahawks dynasty. There was a dynasty almost, right? But this Broncos team is ugly, ugly to watch. And it's crazy how you picked, not the fact that they're 1-1, but my team that I'm going to panic in is actually in the same division. And this division was being sort of crowned as the best division in football, which still might be. We don't know how it's going to play out, but I am worried about those Raiders. And for someone that, look, I've always been sort of, I don't want to say anti-Raiders, but I always felt like the Raiders were being a little bit over, Derek Carr in more specifically was being a little bit overrated and thrown around with the likes of top quarterbacks in this league to sort of be a guy that could quarterback a team to a Super Bowl. And look, much like we talk about with Jalen Hurts in terms of intangibles, Derek Carr's got a lot of intangibles. He's a guy that's going to hold his team together. He's a great leader. He's very well spoken, but is he a Super Bowl caliber quarterback? And I think that's what we're seeing that with these Raiders. And there's two things that really stick out when I look at this Raiders team. Obviously, the record is 0-2, but not just the record. They are now playing catch up and digging themselves a hole. Whether that hole is not, it's not that we're talking they're 0-3, 0-4, 0-5. It's still a little hole, but the hole feels a little bit more exaggerated because you're in a division with the Chargers and the Chiefs, right? Like, you don't want the Broncos too, but those two teams in specific, like, if you're playing catch up with those teams, you got to now go the rest of the way ideally, you have to sweep one of the Chargers or the Chiefs to sort of make up ground that you've lost in early on this year. And they are both winnable games, both these Raiders games, right? Like, they almost came back against the Chargers. And this game against Arizona, their fans were popping bottles. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I did. Only in Vegas.
Only in Vegas. They got a nightclub by the end zone. But their fans were popping bottles. And
Derek 20-0 at halftime? 23-0?
Yeah. Derek Carr in the second half threw 40 yards and a pick? Something like that. Like, you got to step on teams' throats. Because, look, Arizona's not the greatest of teams. If you're playing any playoff-caliber team, chances are, if you give a team a chance to come back in the game, they're going to come back in the game. And props to Arizona for doing that. But man, I would be very concerned if I was a Raiders fan, waking up this week 0-2, looking at the Chiefs, looking at the Chargers. Still haven't played the Chiefs, right? Still have to play the Broncos. I know the Broncos are struggling, but still playing Denver is tough. Tough playing divisional team is tough. You have a lot of ground to make up, and we're saying this, and it's only been 2 weeks. That just shows you how concerned I am about this Raiders team.
Honestly, a little surprised that you went with the Raiders in this one. Those poor Colts, both sitting on the board from didn't get any hate from any of us when they.
I picked the Jags to win the division.
They also deserve the Colts deserve to just be blasted.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, they're a disaster.
We can blast them next week after they go 0-3.
That sounds like a plan. The one thing with the Raiders, last year I always thought that they were fool's gold, and then in the playoffs they gained my respect against the Bengals, but last year they won 4 overtime games.
Yes.
Like, come on. Yes. That is, you replay those games so many times, they're not going to always go in your favor like that. They played the kicking game a ton. Daniel Carlson was so clutch for them, but they also overcame a lot of adversity. And that's my one thing I'll always praise Derek Carr for is he does not give up. That's why the 0-2 hole, I mean, in my eyes, they're not going to win the division. The division is already gone after 2 weeks, especially when, like you said, Chiefs and Chargers, they're just too good. Maybe in the AFC South you can come back from that, but not in the West. But Derek Carr is so resilient. And like you said, with, again, Jalen Hurts and Tua, he has a lot of great weapons around him. So I think they'll sort of claw their way back into wild card contention. And by week 15, week 16, they'll be playing with a bunch of those AFC teams for a playoff spot. But obviously the 0-2 start, especially because of how they lost last week's game, is a bit of a gut punch.
Yeah. It's like starting a race with a 5-second time penalty, right? Like, you can still overcome it. You can still win the race.
Like, they shouldn't be in this position with how good their roster exactly. is. You shouldn't be 0-2 exactly. if you're the Oakland Raiders. Yes. If you're the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why, and I wasn't the guy that, there's people that were going around saying the Raiders could win the division. I was never that guy. I always thought they were a 10-win team, but I didn't expect an 0-2 start from the Raiders, right? Especially when I looked at this Arizona game, I thought this game was winnable, right? Like, you have to almost walk out of the first two games as a Raider fan. You want your team to be 1-1, and the fact that they're sitting here 0-2, it's a little disappointing, right? Especially how the fumble six, right?
Yeah.
Renfro didn't have the greatest game, but like that game's got it. You were in field goal range, right? You just win the game, right? And they got a lot of, like you just mentioned, they got a lot of experience in winning overtime games, and their kicker's pretty ice cold, so. Just don't get cute with it. Sort of, I would have liked to see it. And hey, my bold prediction would have liked to see it too. Because I said, if you pull up the bold prediction post that we posted on Sunday morning, I said that that game was going to go deep into overtime and the Raiders going to win on a last second field goal. I was almost right, but the voodoo dolls, the genie dolls, I said not today. Maybe I'll have my lucky pick sometime this next year. But to someone who's not so lucky, I hate to say it that way, was your guy Trey Lance, who suffered an absolutely brutal injury, and it was awful to see it, and it was almost shocking, because you didn't, like, when you're watching, I watched it in real time, like I was watching that game, and he got up, like he stood up, and so it, like in real time, you don't realize that this guy just broke his ankle or fractured his ankle. And then he just immediately fell down. I was like, oh no, like that can't be that great. And tests come back. Reports say he actually had successful surgery, which is a very good news, which was a very positive news out of this negative outcome, I should say. And they said that he should be sort of fully recovered come next year, which is positive. But Trey Lance suffered a very bad injury. And now looking back at it, them keeping Jimmy Garoppolo saved their season, right? Yeah. And there's a lot of speculation. I hate saying, like, talking about topics based off of just injuries, just because it's, you know what I mean? It's like such a bad outcome. Like for Jimmy Garoppolo to just come in and take the job because of Trey Lance's injury is obviously not what you want to see. But at the same time, I feel like the 49ers now are like, For this year in general, I think they were a better football team.
The whole thing with Trey Lance, and obviously this was a guy I was crazy, crazy high on, drafted him in a ton of fantasy leagues. Our preseason episode, I said he's going to just shoot off this year. The whole thing with him is he just hasn't played.
Yes.
Since 2019, he has not played two games in a row.
Just crazy.
He's played like not even a season and a half of football in the last 3-4 years.
Combined.
Yeah. So it's just like he needs to get those reps in, especially when you're young. Yeah. This is your time to learn in the NFL. And the 49ers are a team that don't need a quarterback who needs to learn, because they're like we saw last year, they almost made it to the Super Bowl. They honestly should have won that game and been in the Super Bowl. So the whole question is that everyone's talking about this week is, are the 49ers better now that Jimmy Garoppolo? And You said it very nicely, because you didn't want it to look rude to Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Because obviously this sucks. It's a horrible injury that he had.
Brutal.
And it was scary. I'll somewhat agree with you. We're going into week 3. In week 3, they're better with Jimmy Garoppolo. Week 16, they're not.
Yes.
Because I genuinely think that over the course of the season, we would have seen Trey Lance get a lot better and get more comfortable.
Yeah.
So maybe come playoff time, it's the same old 49ers, like they always disappoint, but the story comes to be that the reason they're not hoisting the Lombardi is because Jimmy G's good, not great. Maybe they need that quarterback with a little bit more flair and athleticism and a better arm like what Trey Lance brings. We'll see. I still am very high in the 49ers. I think they'll compete for this division. George Kittle also hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
The defense is very, very good. So it's such a weird scenario, because how many fan bases can lose what some would believe to be a franchise quarterback, a guy who was a third overall pick, and the next day at the same time be like, we still have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And that just goes to how they, that them keeping that, it literally saved, it saved their season, right? It absolutely saved their season. Because their backup would be, Nate, is Nate Sudfeld still in 49ers? No, I don't think so. Their backup actually is Iowa State's quarterback, what's his name? Brock Purdy. If Brock Purdy, exactly, right? That just shows you how important that Jimmy Garoppolo contract was. And to add on to your points, while I agree with everything you just said, I think the most important thing was in terms of disparity between Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo later on in the year, because I do think, like you said now, Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback for that team today, right? It gives him a better chance to win today. But come playoff time, I think the one area that sort of Trey Lance gives you that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't is the ability to run your offense a little bit more dynamically, right? Like, sure, you have that extra element to Deebo Samuel and Ayuk and Kittle and that great offensive line, and but you're not going to see Jimmy Garoppolo with a read option try and take it 25 yards, right? Sort of Trey Lance gave you that option. He gave that extra worry for that for a defense, for an opposing defense who already has to worry about Deebo Samuel getting carries, Deebo Samuel catching balls, Ayuk, Kittle up the middle, offensive line. Like, there's a lot on that team. That team is very talented. And just the fact that Trey Lance had that extra element in him, I think 49ers fans that are sort of saying, oh, we're in much better hands here, I think you're going to realize come playoff time that, I know you said the same old Jimmy. It's not Jimmy's fault. It's just not, that's not his play style, right? Yeah. And I think in today's NFL, you sort of need not necessarily a dual threat guy, because you're looking at Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers do it without that sort of same running presence that some of these young quarterbacks have. But it's just an extra, it's an extra worry for opposing defenses, right? Like, they have to guess that little extra second, and it's a game of inches, right? So that split second where the linebacker is indecisive of if the quarterback is running or if the quarterback is passing could be a difference in a full game, right? In a 75-yard touchdown versus a sack, or a 30-yard completion versus an incompletion sort of thing, right? And I think that it's sort of later on in the year, like you mentioned, Trey Lance was projecting to become sort of that guy. And he I mean, I'd assume, given his just overall ceiling, that he would get better every game that he plays. And he was looking good playing Seattle. Like, he looked fresh. Like, he looked super comfortable. I know it's unfair to judge him off that first game in Chicago, but he looked legit. And it's just a shameful situation that he's sort of had to suffer an ankle injury like that. And it's so weird. Like, it feels like all the time whenever you're like, have situations like this, there's always some sort of injury involved, that whether it's the old quarterback coming back to start for the new one, or the vice versa, right? Like, the old quarterback getting hurt and the new one takes over. Like, there's always some sort of, like, it can't just be a proper transition.
Yeah.
Right. There's always, in the NFL, there's always something that happens, whether it's injury related or not. There's always something that arises. And I think that, that this sort of 49ers front office did a very solid job sort of having that backup plan. And let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo too. He's handled the situation with so much class, like a true professional. I think it's showing his real colors, and the fact that, and why he's been sort of around for so long, because let's face it, Jimmy Garoppolo does not have the, from a talent perspective, he does not have top 20, maybe 15 talent. And obviously the 49ers were willing to stick with him for so long, and they made the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? But he's such a professional, like, he's such a pro's pro, and you can tell by the way he speaks, by just people, the way they talk about him, and the way that he's handled this whole situation. It's like, kudos to Jimmy Garoppolo for really handling it like a real pro, and understanding what sort of Trey Lance is going through, and he knows his place, right? Obviously, he's there to, he's ready to step up, but this whole situation, like, he never batted an eye. You never saw, like, Kyler Murray goes and unfollows the 49, yeah, like, the Cardinals. Like, you don't see that. Jimmy Garoppolo's not a child antic. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't do that, right? And I think he deserves a lot of credit for handling the situation the way that he did.
My whole thing here is, what do the 49ers do next year? And I know they're not looking ahead to that now, because it's week 3 of the season. Yeah,
eventually it's going
to
happen.
But yeah, next year, what do you do? You want Trey Lance. He's the guy of your future. It's presumed that Jimmy's going to move on. but you're in the situation where it's like, okay, we got a guy. We now have no insurance policy. He hasn't played.
Yep.
We have this roster that's very, very good. What do we do? How is this going to look? It's such a weird is a weird word to use in this situation because of partly how well Jimmy and the 49ers even handled it. And it seems like the relationship is good there. But eventually, and I'm excited for this day because I've wanted to watch Trey Lance in action for a long time. Eventually he's going to be back there as the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. And even like, let's say it's not out of the question. The 49ers going to win the Super Bowl this year with Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you do?
I know. Poses an extreme question. Like it is a weird situation. Like it really is. It's like weird. It's awkward. Like it's like hypothetically speaking, the 49ers go in the Super Bowl. Will Trey Lance play a like? And let's say they keep Jimmy Garoppolo around. Like we're talking about a third overall pick potentially playing like two games with the team that drafted him.
And they trade it up. Like that's a whole nother avenue too. Like exactly. they trade it up. A lot. And I know because it was Miami's pick. They gave us a lot for that pick.
Right? It's just such a weird situation. And I hope the best for Trey Lance. I hope he's able to recover and eventually reach that ceiling that he seems like everyone knows the ceiling on when it comes to Trey Lance. So let's hope one day, like Puck just mentioned, that we're able to watch him full throttle with this 49ers offense. Kyle Shanahan just unleashing him to his truest potential. But for the meantime, I think the 49ers are in a pretty solid switch situation in terms of short-term outlook with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Obviously, that day will come where Trey Lance is back there, but the 49ers season continues. They're on prime time, so it's sort of my 49ers, I guess, because I'm a big Trey Lance guy, going up against the team I hate the most right now, the Denver Broncos, on Sunday Night Football this week. So we'll see what happens. But that is a preview, and that leads us to our next segment. New segment, brand new. Sponsored by our friends over at BetStamp, which, if you don't know, is an app that shows you the very best lines on where to bet on sports. It is phenomenal, and today we're introducing our new segment. We're going to do this every single week, looking ahead to the following week, The Hammer, where we pick two games that, quite frankly, you just need to hammer because there are best bets of the week.
Mortgage.
Okay, not the mortgage. Last time you said you're 0-1 on the mortgage. The Hammer, maybe you have a good record.
I just moved out, actually. I off of the money that I made on the BetStamp app, thanks to line shopping, you don't understand. You got to test it out. Check it out yourself and use code CTB when you download it, referral code, all that fun stuff. But you would be surprised with how much money you'd save and make just by shopping online because I was broke because I mortgaged my house, put it on Baker Mayfield first week, lost it. I was actually living in the studio here. My bed was just behind the camera there. And now I made all the money back and I'm back home, right? I got my mortgage back. I'm able to, thanks to BetStamp, all thanks to BetStamp.
But two things here. One, we never spent quite enough time just ripping you on how poorly the Baker take has aged. We could have even talked about the Panthers, the team that we're worried about the most. They're a disaster.
It's okay. Baker's coming back.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. And the second thing on to what you said about the BetStamp app, when I was putting together my hammer picks for this week, one of the teams I liked on the first book that I looked at, just because that's where I was looking at all the games, they were minus. And then when I went on the BetStamp app to, you know, make sure I had the right information, I actually found them at plus
money
in terms of the spread at a different sports book. Right? So it's actually crazy the advantage that you can gain just by using this app. But that leads us to the Hammer. Kat, who is your first pick for this week?
My first pick might be a little shocker. But I'm a big trend guy, especially sports betting. I like to sort of put my money on trends because I think history tends to repeat itself, whether it's explainable, inexplainable. But I'm going to take the Bucks here at -2, which is half a point better than other books that are pointing at North Star Bets. I'm going to take the Bucks -2 at home against the Packers. Now, get you this. I'm going to read a stat that I saw on Twitter. It is courtesy of Jacob Morley. I hope I said that properly. But Aaron Rodgers has actually had a horrific track record at Raymond James Stadium, which is the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is 1-3 there. He's only passed for 900 yards in four games, 3 touchdowns to 8 picks. And get you this, Rodgers has only thrown three interceptions in a game four times in his career, and two of those games came at Raymond James Stadium. So for some reason, he's just not comfortable in the stadium. So I'm going to take the Buccaneers here, who are banged up. They don't have that receiving core. Mike Evans is suspended for a game. He might be able to weasel, though, with that sort of one game appeal sort of thing. So he might be able to play. But I'm going to take the Bucs minus two here at North Star Bets.
I actually had the Bucs written down on mine. Rules of the hammer, we can't pick the same teams. So yep. I won't be taking the Bucs this week. I'm going to pick the team that I alluded to earlier. I didn't want to spoil it. The San Francisco 49ers going up against the disastrous Denver Broncos. This is the team that they're actually, in most books, they're minus 1.5 favorites. I've actually found them on ProLine at plus 2.5 with the BetStamp app. We talked about Jimmy G a lot on today's show. He keeps teams in games. He's a winner. That 49ers defense, I think, is going to be a real tall task for a team that can't even get ready pre-snap. So yep. I really like the 49ers. It's prime time as well. Take them at 2.5 on ProLine.
I like that. I like that pick. I think the 49ers are we alluded to them earlier with Jimmy Garoppolo and their future outlook, and at least in the short term. I like that pick. My second pick, I'm going to take the Texans plus 3.5, which is actually up from plus 2.5 like elsewhere. And you could also get the money line here, which is pretty good value. Plus 130 at DraftKings. That's, you're saving about 20 points because it's plus 110 a few other places. But DraftKings, you can get them at plus 130 money line. I think they could win, but I'm just going to be safe. My pick here is going to be the Texans plus 3.5 by that sort of extra point. Get that field goal protection. But the Bears, they're a very not so good team, right? Let's face it. They have a league low 28 pass attempts, which is second lowest to Ryan Tannehill's 53, who played literally a game and a half, right? Because he was benched in the third quarter or something, fourth quarter. Regardless, he played a game and a little bit, and a game in three quarters, and that's almost less than double of his pass attempts. The Chicago offense is abysmal. I expect Houston, Davis Mills, and what they're building there, Brandon Cooks and Damian Pierce, to sort of get things going on the road, get things going on the road here. And I'm going to take Houston plus 3.5.
So I mentioned that we're not allowed to have two of the same picks. I wrote down three things just in case. Little did I know you're going to take two of my three. Thanks very much. Next, we're going to have to do
You chose the order. You chose
the order. Next week, we're going to do a snake draft, or I want first pick, because this is not going to happen again. But look how quickly I've had to actually open up the BetStamp app on my phone. You talked a lot about trends in betting, and I mentioned earlier, I will actually be in an NFL stadium this week. Now, call me crazy, but I'm going to give you two stats. Number one, the best quarterback in the NFL currently at covering the spread is Tua Tagovailoa. I know he had a 63% rate before last week, and of course Miami covered against the Ravens. So he's number one at covering. Also, when Miami's more than plus 5, I believe he's undefeated in his career at cover, just against the spread in terms of covering. Also, another stat. This is the third time in my life I will go to what's now called Hard Rock Stadium and watch a Miami Dolphins game in person. The two previous times, Miami lost on the last play of the game or last drive of the game in heartbreaking fashion. That's another trend that may or may not continue this week. So I'm going to take the Dolphins. Call me crazy. My Dolphins plus 5.5 against
the
Bills.
Even if it does, if it's a heartbreaker, it's a walk-off field goal, you still cover.
I still cover. So those two trends support the pick. They're plus 5.5 at Sports Interaction. They're plus 4.5 at most other books. So those are my first two picks for the Hammer. Chaotic. Just picking against the Bills, who look unbeatable right now. So I have to.
I took the Titans plus 10 yesterday. I was saying that was a lock to it. To my buddies, it was a lock.
Yeah.
That's what a lock is what it was. Thank God I didn't mortgage that one, or else I'd be back on the streets, right?
Well, that's going to do it for the first edition of the Hammer, powered by our friends over at BetStamp. Like you said, make sure you download the app. And that's also going to do it for today's episode. Any last things you want to say before signing off?
Well, to touch on what Thomas just said, we're actually available on the media pick, so you can see our sort of our track record of how we're making money, what we're betting on, and you can track our picks there. If you don't even have to bet, you can just download the app and just keep up to date with what we're doing in the betting space. Like Pac just said, it's BetStamp. You can use code CTB as a referral code. And feel free to check them out on socials. Obviously, you see that we do a lot of stuff with them on our Instagram. But great guys over there, great platform. But yeah, that's going to pretty much wrap up today's show. We're through 2 weeks of the NFL, 3 weeks, well, 3 episodes of season 2 of the CTB show. If you made it this far, we obviously thank you. Maybe we'll do a Q&A in the next upcoming episode. So if you're still around, leave some questions or like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. If you're listening audio, make sure you're rating the podcast. Follow it if you haven't already. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music right now.
I didn't even know that was a thing, too. Amazon Music.
Yeah, Amazon Music. So we're pretty much spread across all audio platforms. If you are driving or working out or doing anything else and you can't sort of watch the YouTube video, you can always head over there to listen to the audio show. But thank you guys again for tuning in. We'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Yeah, this time next Tuesday, will be...
You'll have a tan, a nice on
bronze tan from my time at Hard Rock Stadium. And if the Dolphins aren't 3-0, maybe it's a good week to do Q&A so we don't have to talk about the game. So
perfect. And my Cowboys will be just off of a fresh, nice victory with Cooper Rush going 2-0 in the season over the Giants on Monday Night Football. Bold prediction here, but thank you again, and we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Take care.